Hebrews chapter 10, and let me turn my Bible there, and I'm going to show you something. There's a picture up there on the screen. I want you to look at that for a minute, all right? I want you to ponder that. Think about it, and then we'll talk about it tonight. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to bless. This is something, I don't know, just again, the Lord impressed me this idea was on my mind and just felt like the Lord wanted me to deal with it tonight. So we're going to look at some issues tonight and some things from the Word of God. But let's go to God in prayer and ask His blessing and His grace and ask the Holy Spirit to teach us some good things tonight. Heavenly Father, we love You so much and we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. It's always right. And Father, Lord, sometimes we're wrong. And I pray, dear God, Lord, that as Paul said, the Scriptures were inspired by You. Lord, You breathed to those men. Lord, You put Your words in their mouth and they wrote down what You wanted them to write down. And Father, that word is good for doctrine and correction and instruction in righteousness, Lord, that we could have understanding of who You are, what You do, how You do. And Lord, just everything that pertains to life and our faith, Lord, is inside this book. And Father, we thank You, dear God, for the gift of this book. And we pray, dear God, Lord, that we would always hold it sacred and very close to our hearts, God, because to us, the Word of God is a sacred thing. It is precious to us, Lord, and probably there in each and everybody that's here tonight, those listening online, Lord, they have a testimony of what the Word of God has done for them in their lives. So, Father, I thank You for that, and I pray, dear God, that You would please bless Your Word tonight. And, Lord, Father, honor it, speak to our hearts, and show us some great and mighty things, Lord God, and to stir up our hearts and our minds of memories, dear God, of things that are in the Bible, and use it, Lord, to give us instruction and guide us as we live our life for You. We love You, and we trust You, and we pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Hebrews chapter 10, and when you get there, just kind of take a look there on the screen, and I'll just kind of entertain a thought from you. What do you think is happening here on the screen? What do you think's going on there? Huh? Falling? Okay. What direction? Back, well, down. That's pretty good. What other direction do you fall in? Okay. That looks like something that I would not want to do. Does that sound right to you? That just looks like something that I just don't want any part of. I want nothing to do with that. And, so anyway, just, you're getting the right idea. Let me show you this one now. All right. Take a look up there. I don't know if you can see it all clearly, but, here's our, let's see here. This is right here. Let me do this. This is Benny Hinn here. And he thinks that he can smack everybody with his coat and knock them down and give them the Holy Spirit by hitting them with the coat or blow on them. He blows on people. He'll go up to a whole crowd of them like that and they'll all, what will they do? They'll do exactly what this guy's doing. It's the same thing. Okay? And here's another one here. They call this, what? What do they call this? Do what? No. Yeah, amen, foolishness. Slain in the Spirit. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Where is that phrase, where is that in the Bible? Slain in the Spirit, where is that? Anybody know? Jody, do you know where it is? No, and there's a reason why you don't know where it is. It's not in there. Okay? I've told this story before, but I think it just kind of fits in here tonight. Years ago, before I became pastor here, I was hungry. And I was at a time in my life where I was looking for something, and I didn't know what it was. Kind of like when you have the munchies, and you get hungry at home, and you go through the refrigerator and the pantry, and you have no idea what you're looking for, okay? But you know you're hungry for something, and you won't know it until you find it, okay? And sometimes we'll eat something and be done and go, no, that wasn't it. That was not it. Now you've wasted that whole appetite You got to wait for another one to come along. But that's where I was. And I went to this Pentecostal church over here. They were having a revival service. And I went over there. And before I ever walked in that door, I said, God, if this is real, if this is from you, I'm hungry. I want it. But God, I'm not trying to do something outside of your will. I fear you. And God, I don't want to be turned over. So God, if it's not of you, I don't want to fall for that. And this message I heard preached was, it was a good message. But I went down to the front, and there's all these people, and there's people, women, behind me. And one of them was doing exactly what I just did to you. Just like that. And the Holy Ghost is quoting scripture to me. Let the women be silent in the church. And I'm going, that doesn't sound right. It does not sound right. And so I stood there, and I don't know who it was. They was going down the line, hitting people on the head, and they'd all fall down on the ground backwards. Somebody'd catch them, and so on. And guy came around, and he touched me on the forehead, and nothing happened. I didn't feel electricity. I didn't feel heat. I didn't get the heebie-jeebies. I just stood there. Well, they went down the line, and people's falling, this and that and the other. And they saw me still standing, so they come by and did it again. Okay? And I still haven't yet figured out what doctrine that is. If at first you don't succeed, try again. But it didn't happen. Nothing happened. And what I realized later on was God had answered my prayer. He was shielding me. And I walked out of that church and I said, God, thank you. I will never do this again. I won't tempt you, but I'm hungry, and I need something. And not too long after that, God said, here it is, right here, okay? And boy, am I satisfied, amen? I'm not done picking all the meat off these chicken bones, amen? There's a lot on here, and it's enough to satisfy me for my life, and I've since learned that the Holy Spirit that I wanted was right here. Okay? You want experiences? Read it right here. Okay? You want to feel emotions? They're here. If that's you, they're all right here. But if you just want something solid from the Word of God, it's right here. God will give it to us this way. So that's my testimony. And you know, since then, I've tried to learn as much as I can about different things that are going on that are not right. And here's what I'm going to show you, Jody. These are all the verses in the Bible where slain in the Spirit is taught. That's it. Those are all the verses where the slain in the Spirit is taught in your Bible. That doctrine is not there. Yes? Yeah, pretty much. Okay? And since it's not in the Bible, it doesn't exist. Okay? And I just want you for a minute, I want you to examine that phrase, slain in the Spirit. To be slain is a murder word. Okay? That is murder, is what it is. And I want you to look at what they're killing. Your spirit. Okay? You are being killed in your spirit. There's not a word in here about that doctrine, about that understanding, about that teaching. There's nothing in your Bible about being killed or murdered in your spirit, and that brings on a greater walk with God or whatever. It doesn't exist here. On the day of Pentecost, there was nobody being slain in the spirit. Paul never went around touching people on the forehead. None of the apostles had that ministry. Peter didn't have that thing. Nothing in any passage of Scripture gives you any indication whatsoever that this is something that is from God and is the evidence of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Because that's what's being taught. They'll teach you that you're not really complete and full in God until you've been slain in the Spirit. And they associate that a lot of times with baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then that's going to be evidenced by speaking in tongues and all of these other things. And none of those things here. The foundation of that is being slain in the Spirit. And if the foundation is not biblical, the rest of it stands on that. It'll crumble and fall. Okay? And I'm not sure exactly who was the first one to introduce this into Pentecostal thought or Christian thought or anything. I'm not sure exactly where it came from. But since then, you look in the Bible, then certain words just jump out at me. And I was kind of showing you this morning a little bit kind of how I study. I'll just think of something that something will just hit me, or I'll be reading something, or I hear something or whatever, and there'll be a word there, and I'll think, you know what, that's in the Bible. I want to go see what God says about how God used that word in the Bible. And the Bible says, preach the word, study the word. God will give us a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, and that word is right here. Here's all the wisdom and knowledge you can handle, okay? And this is where it comes from. So I'll study words in the Bible. And I'm not sure exactly what kind of got me thinking about this, but I was looking at not just the act of being slain in the Spirit, but every time this is done. And I was at a service where it was being done, and I knew that there was someone behind me ready to catch me. I don't know if I was slimmer then. Okay? But I wasn't that slim. I thought, boy, I don't know about this. But they always put the catchers, where did they put them, Chris? Behind them. Why? Because almost without fail, every one of these people will fall backward. Okay, every one of them. Very seldom do you ever see it happen any other way. Now, there's two things I think go along with this. Number one, when you see stuff like, let me do this here. When you see stuff like Benny Hinn here, okay, you probably have never paid attention to this, but I know how it works. At these meetings that Hinn puts on, there's a certain limited number of seats right up in the front or right up on the stage that are reserved for special people, which James said you ought not do. Amen? James said you don't have assigned seats for people to come in the house of God, but he does. These are people that he can trust. These are people that when he starts putting on the show, waving the coat around and blowing on everybody, they know what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to fall backward and make it look like he's got some big magical power from God that can knock everybody down backwards. Okay? But the truth of it is, these people are putting on a show just like he is, and they're part of the circus act that he's putting on. Do you believe that? Say amen. So there's no doubt in my mind that a certain part of this is showmanship. It's fake. It's phony. It's just like these people, they pay to sit in wheelchairs. These people aren't crippled. They're paid to sit there, and they know what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to stand up whenever he blows on them or whatever to make it look like he healed them from wheelchairs. And boy, the money starts rolling in after that, all right? It's all just a bunch of nonsense. So part of that, I believe, is fake. But I've also had testimony from people. One family in particular, I remember they wrote me from Oregon. And I thought about one time going out there and interviewing them, but they told me, they said, we went to Benny Hinn's deal, and he blew on us, or he touched us, whatever. And they said the electricity that went through our body at that time, I mean, it just literally zapped us and knocked us down. That's what they were telling me. They said, we actually felt something, an energy or a power from him that made us fall backwards. She said, we started listening to you. We've been in the King James Bible. We now know that that's not of God. And we want it out. We don't want anything to do with that anymore. Amen? Give them the truth. God will save them. But anyway, that's what their testimony was. So I have no doubt that there are spirits that are associated with this. And what I'm going to show you tonight, I'm going to show you just that theme of falling backwards or going backwards. And I'll show you what I mean here in just a second. Let me get to the scriptures here. John 6:66. Remember that verse? Okay? And I just think that it's there for a reason. I think God put it in that spot for a reason. All right? You look at John 6:66. What did it say? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So ask the question, what direction is Jesus walking? He's walking forward. He's walking toward heaven. He's walking toward eternal life. He's walking to the cross. Are you catching that? He's walking to the cross, and he's taken his disciples with him. They're following him to the cross. When you say you follow Jesus, that's where you're going. You're going to the cross, my friend. Amen? But they stopped right then and there. They stopped. And they went back. And that word's there for a reason. And walked no more with him. John 18:6, and we're going to be in Hebrews here in a minute. John 18:6, as soon as then, as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. That is the only place in the Bible where people are falling backward. And what it is, it's the Roman soldiers that came to arrest Jesus, and they were saying, which one of you is Jesus? And he said, I am he. And as soon as he said that, wham! They hit the ground backwards. Okay? I don't know that I would get my blessing from God from that verse. I wouldn't base it on that. But surprisingly, when you press these people to show you in the Bible where that comes from, if they've heard somebody else teach them this, they'll take you to John 18:6 and say, see, here it is right there. It was the power of God that made them fall backward. Remember what you're supposed to do. Don't just look at the verse. Draw a circle around it. Read everything in front of it. Read everything on the other side of it. And you'll get the context. Here, these were Roman soldiers. These were wicked men who were taking Jesus to have him killed on the cross. And when Jesus said, I am he, boom, there they went. And I believe God did that for a sign. I do. I believe God did that for a sign. Now look at Hebrews chapter 10. And I've got it there on the screen, but I want you to look at it there in your Bible. And maybe you can underline this and make some little notes there. Oh, you know what? I have up here verse 38 and 39, but let's walk circumspectly. Let's go back a little bit, all right? Look at verse 35 of Hebrews chapter 10. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Confidence has the word fidelity in it, fide. It has the word faith in it. You have put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in God Almighty. And he's telling you, you're doing the right thing because there's coming a great reward for you. For you putting your faith and your trust in God. So cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That kind of denies your best life now, doesn't it? Amen? You're not going to get the best life now. If this is it right here, what in the world are we doing? Okay? So he said, you might receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. I believe God's got an assigned time, don't you? Now look in verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. What that means is those who have been justified, those who have been forgiven of their sins, They have, as we talked about this morning, they're not in the seat of condemnation. They are in Christ. They are in the seat of exaltation. They have been justified by Almighty God, which means their sins have been removed. And when they stand before God in His courtroom, there will be no charges against them because the transgressions have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Doesn't that sound good? Amen? So that's what that means. The just shall live by faith. He's actually quoting from the Old Testament. That is an Old Testament doctrine. If you are going to be justified, it will be by faith and not by works. But if any man draw what direction? Back. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. What is perdition? Destruction. Hell. Okay, that's what that is. Who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So here we have basically a little microcosm of Bible Christianity. It says that, number one, that we are justified by the Lord Jesus Christ by our faith and our confidence in Him. And there's going to be a blessing that comes as a result of that confidence. That's what we're waiting for. Amen? That's what Sister Waymire has now. Amen? She's got it. She doesn't have to have faith anymore, does she? She has sight. She sees heaven's gates. She sees God face to face. Amen. Sister Aileen and others that have departed from us. All right? So then you have patience, which means that, yes, there are things that we are going to endure in this world. Hold on. Hold on to that. Don't let go. Don't draw back. Don't be of those who draw back unto perdition. Now, verse 39, he's telling you there's two groups of people. And I believe there are two groups of people who go to church. There are those whom God seals, that he takes into heaven. They have salvation. They live in heaven forever. Amen? You know why? They believe. And you know what they didn't stop doing? They didn't stop believing. They kept on believing. They kept on going. I had somebody show me this a couple weeks ago. This is what I think Calvinism looks like. Somebody posted on Facebook that they believe that if you can believe in God and Jesus for 10 seconds of your life and then go out and eat your parents and God will still take you into heaven. That's baloney. Amen. Why even bother? It's exactly right. Okay. What I'm telling you is the just shall live how? By faith. That's how you and I live. If we're to be justified by God, it is by faith. And then he says it again. He says the just shall live by faith. And he says up here earlier, let's see here. Where was that word confidence at? Verse 35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So he says, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in them. Think about places in the Bible. Think about where they got to a place in the wilderness and Korah rose up and he wanted to take over Israel. He said, who is Moses? Did you know Moses and Korah were first cousins? I didn't know that. I was looking at the genealogy one day. Moses and Korah were first cousins to one another. They were both of the tribe of Levi and they both had the same grandpa. Okay? They were first cousins. But anyway, did I say that? Did I get that right? I don't remember. You have to do the genealogy yourself. But they were related to one another. And Korah rose up and he said, why don't you guys, who does Moses think he is? He thinks he's the one in charge all the time. Why don't you guys all follow me? Where do you think Korah would have went? Back to Egypt. And there's another place where they wanted to do that. They wanted to go back. And God opened up the earth and swallowed those guys whole. Where did they go? Perdition. They came out of Egypt. They never made it to the promised land. They drew back. They said, let's go backward. They quit believing what God said and what God had promised. Can I hear you say amen? They quit believing. This nonsense that you believe in God for about 10 seconds, then you go do whatever you want to, that's not in this book. And I don't care if you look in Genesis, Revelation, 1 Peter, James, Matt, it doesn't matter. That's not here. So this is the context of what he's talking about here, all right? But he said, no, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We are not of them who draw back unto perdition. And you say, what does that have to do with this? Okay? I think the manifestation of them falling backward. Number one, the absence of anything in the Bible that says anything about that as being a blessing from God. Number two, you're going to see many things in the Bible where they're going back or backward or things like that or falling backward like we saw those Roman soldiers. To me, that indicates that is not God's Spirit, but it is God's judgment. Okay? So I'm going to show you what I mean by that here in a little bit. All right? Now watch this. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Here's what Paul said. Now I want you to look at this now. We're going to see contrast in the Bible. Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know what Paul's saying? I'm not there yet. I don't have perfection yet, but I know it's coming. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are where? What direction? Behind. They're at the back. Forget those things. Forget about all that stupid stuff you used to do. Forget about how you used to think. Forget about all the people you used to run around with. Sometimes you need to let go of the past. Amen? You need to let go of that stuff, all right? That's hurting you. It's killing you. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth. Look at the direction that he's talking about. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. In other words, God's going to be the one straighten you out. But notice what direction Paul said he's going. He's going forward. He's going forth. He's headed in the forward direction. He's headed to the high, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul has already been to the cross. Now he's headed to the glory that's on the other side of that cross. Somebody say amen. That's where he's going. That's where I want to be. You met Christ at the cross when you were saved. Now you're headed to the glory that is on the other side of that cross. One of these days, by faith, we'll all get there. Amen? One of these days, by faith. And it's never, where we're going is never back here. Never is. Okay? And I used to, very, very respectfully, I used to hear, and still do, hear people talk about the old days when revivals would be a week, 2 weeks long, 3 weeks long, things like that. Talk about all the people getting saved and this and that and the other. I like stories like that, but I'll never see it with my eyes. I'll never see what happened in those days. I'll never be there. If all I had was a testimony of what happened back a long time ago, I don't have much. We, as Bible-believing Christians, are the ones who should always be looking forward. Looking forward to what God's going to do. Looking forward to how God's going to bless. Looking forward to the day when we part this world and enter into heaven for all of eternity. That's where our minds should be. Amen? Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. He didn't say look back or look down at the ground, look forward. He said lift up your head. We're looking for Christ to come and get us. Amen. That's where we're supposed to be. So think about that, all right? Hebrews 12:2. Here's Paul saying again, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set, look at here, there it is again, before him. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In Hebrews 13, verse 12, he said, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate, let us go forth, bearing therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one where? To come. I'm not interested in going back to the old days. Some of them were nice, some of them were not so nice. What I want and what I'm interested in are the days that lie ahead of us. And I truly believe, the days for the church here on this earth are better than what's behind us. I think God's going to do a greater thing in the future than he ever did in the past. If everything in here is the shadow of things to come, and the shadow was glorious, how much more glorious the real thing? Amen. So which direction do you think we ought to be going? Forward, not backward. Romans 5:14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned at the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Not anybody in the past, but a figure of one who is to come. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. The one that's coming in the future. That's where our prize is, people. It's ahead of us. It's not behind us. It's not in, let's go pretend like we're back in the old days and let's see if we can get God to do then what he did, do for us now what he did back then. I'll tell you, it is a different world that we live in now than what our forefathers lived in 50, 60, 75, 100 years ago. Back before television and the Beatles, it might be possible to get them out of the house for a whole week or 2 weeks to go to church meeting. Might be possible. Today, you just can't get them out. I remember when I was young, we used to go all around. If we was going to have a revival meeting, we used to go all around town handing out flyers for people to come to a revival meeting. Remember those days? We used to do that all over the place. Who's coming now? If you go out and hand out flyers all over town, we stick them on car windows at Walmart. We used to do all that stuff. We used to knock doors. Who lets anybody in their house they don't know anymore? I don't. I wouldn't. Not for a second. I wouldn't let some stranger in my house. It's a different world we live in. Different world. People are different. They're not the same as they was, even though there is no new thing under the sun. There just is a different way of approaching what God wants us to do in these days. And I think that what we're shooting for and what we're supposed to be doing and what we're looking for is ahead of us, and it's not behind us. Does that make sense to everybody? I'm not talking about revolution or being radical or anything. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm just saying I think God's got something good for us ahead. Of course, I'm pointing to your back. Ahead. Amen? That's what I think is coming, not only in this world, but in the world to come. He said in Ephesians 2:7 that in the ages to come, there it is, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And let me ask you a question. Everything that God has done for you in the past, you look at that and say, God, You've been very good to me. But I don't think my life is over, and I know You're not done. So God, I'm going to hit another issue in life like David and Linda Toomey are at right now. They may not have known really about this a month ago, but now they're at a place right now. And certainly everything that that family's been through, with Linda being about this time last year, her being dead in her house and God bringing her back to life. And so now they're looking at this issue here and they're wondering, God, how are You going to get us through this? Okay, that's where we're supposed to be fixed, right there. God, this is how You did it then. How are You going to do it now? And let God work, all right? But it's the ages to come. It's the time to come. Colossians 2:16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body of Christ. And remember, we're not looking to the shadow for our blessing. We're looking to the One who bears the shadow for our blessings. That makes sense to everybody so far. I'm trying to show you from the Bible that we're headed in the forward direction. Toward heaven, toward Christ, toward the second coming, toward His glory. There's a lot of people that are not. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily exercise profiteth little. Say amen to that. Godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 6:19, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So you lay that foundation that you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, we're headed to Zion. We're headed to heavenly Jerusalem, not old Jerusalem. People talk about, hey, I want to go to the Holy Land. I want to see all that stuff there. That I personally am not interested in going to Jerusalem. Okay? I like my life too much. Okay? I just kind of think that's going to turn dangerous one of these days real quick. Amen? So I'm not real... If you want to go do it, that's fine. My grandma did it, and she brought me back a rock from the Dead Sea. And she told me, put it in your mouth. I put it in my mouth, tastes like salt. Oh, wow, grandma, that's cool. I still got it somewhere. That's it. Okay? Our faith is not back in old Jerusalem. We don't need it. My faith and what I'm looking for is that place that Abraham looked for. It's the place that Elijah was looking for. It's the place that Moses was looking for. The real promised land is up there ahead. Am I making sense to everybody? Okay. So, here we have all these people turning back. They're going back. And I'm going to show you from the Bible what that's like. What are they turning back to? Okay. Well, let's look at these verses here. Hebrews 8:13. In that He saith a new covenant, He hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Let me use this illustration here of Sister Waymire, Sister Aileen. They both got to a place in life where their age had just consumed them. And I knew both of them. And I talked to both of them. They didn't want to go back to a time when they was a little girl. They wanted to go ahead to the place where they wouldn't have to worry about anything ever again. A place where there wasn't going to be any more disease and no more. See, if you go back, even if you had the ability to go back and be a child again, you still got to live life all over again. I've had it once. I don't want another one. Amen? That's what reincarnation's all about. Going back and doing it again. Fooey on that. Amen? Just get me to heaven and I'll be in glory. So think about that. What he's talking about here, the new covenant, he's referring to the old covenant. Okay? So he said, a new covenant, He hath made the first old. that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. In Hebrews 10:9, he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. He's talking about the first covenant and the second covenant, the Old Testament, New Testament, the Mount Sinai law and the New Jerusalem law. And both of them are different, all right? By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. And let me tell you some things that I know. I battle this stuff every week. I try to help and encourage people, be careful of all these different ministries, all these different websites and teaching videos and pamphlets and everything that people are churning out, trying to get people, Christian people, Gentile Christian people, to go back to the Old Testament law and try to keep it. Okay? And the more I learn about it, the more I study on it, the more I try to figure out where all this is coming from, I'm 99% convinced that the people who are pushing the Gentile believers to go back to Mount Sinai, to that covenant, are Jewish rabbis. Because most of these guys that I know of, Jim Staley's one of them, he's up here in St. Peter somewhere. Most of these guys I know of have admitted that they have learned all this Jewish Hebrew stuff by Jewish rabbis. They've either read their books. One guy that I read was trained. He went to some Jewish rabbis and sat under them and said, teach me your ways. And they did. The problem was they weren't teaching him the Old Testament. They weren't teaching him the Bible. They were teaching him Jewish traditions, Jewish fables, Jewish customs, Jewish words. And it was all an attempt to try to get them back to Mount Sinai, thinking that if you do as much of the law as you possibly can, you can please God more than the rest of you Gentiles who are going to church on Sunday. That's their mindset. It is a works-based blessing from God. That's back here. It's kind of like, why are Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and all these other people trying to turn America into a socialist communist country when every country that's ever done it ran out of money and it collapsed? It was tried in Russia, didn't work. It was tried in China, and China is more capitalist now than they ever been. Okay? It doesn't work. But they say that America's future is back with Marx and Lenin and Stalin. And it's not. Amen? It's not. Going back is not going to save America. But that's their mindset. And so here's the thing. Why would believers think that they knew they couldn't keep the law before they got saved? What makes them think that they can keep the law now, because they still have the same body, same flesh? But that's what a lot of this is. It is, let's go back to Mount Sinai and let's live under that covenant. The problem is, if you live by that covenant, you must abide by every single law that they have. And that's impossible now. It is, God made it impossible for Jews to keep the whole law. There's no temple. There's no tabernacle. There's no sacrifices. There is no Ark of the Covenant to provide atonement once a year. None of that exists. God made it impossible. But that's what they're trying to get people to go back to. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall... We already read that. Let me move on here. In the Old Testament, I've watched this. I thought of this afternoon. I like this stuff. In Exodus... This is the Old Testament. In Exodus 33, 23, Moses wanted to see God. What did God show him? Back. Wouldn't let him see his face. Why? If you see my face, you'll die. That's Moses in the Old Testament. You don't get anything but the back. In the New Testament, Revelation 22, 3 and 4, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Isn't that cool? In the Old Covenant, you only get the back, because you can't stand it. Moses himself would not have been able to survive seeing God's face. That's the Old Covenant. New Covenant, we get to see God's face. That's ahead. Why would I want to go back to Mount Sinai only to see the back of God? Amen? Does that make sense to everybody? Boy, this stuff's cool. Amen? I'm going to show you a picture. See if you can figure out what this is. What is that? Lot and his two daughters, and his wife did what? Look at there. That's what it says. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I study salt in the Bible. You'll see salt represents burning. And if you've ever had sweat pour onto an open sore, what does it do, Sterling? It burns. I was out there yesterday, and I always wear a hat when I work because I sweat. And the sweat always channels right into my eye, right here. Yeah, it burns like crazy. And that's what the picture of salt is. But what happened to her? She left Sodom, but she turned around and looked back. She wanted to go back. God's salvation for her and her husband and her daughters was not back. It was ahead. It was forward. And God used her as an example to us. Don't look back. Don't go back. Don't. And why did she look back? She wanted to go back. She missed Sodom. Proverbs chapter 16 or 26 verse 11. As a dog returneth to his what? His vomit. So a fool returneth to his folly. And think about, I'm going to use this illustration. God talked about vomit. What is vomit? It is food that went in, it came back. Okay? See the example? See the picture God's drawing for you? See how simple that is? And we don't want what came back. Amen? We don't want it. But he said, as a dog returned to his vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. And Peter quoted this passage. Listen to what he said. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Everybody that's raised pigs know you're wasting your time trying to clean a pig. Because what are they going to do? They're going to turn back to it. We was talking about this today, and I think there's a good teaching here, because I picked this up a couple years ago watching Discovery Channel. I didn't know this. You can raise a hog from a piglet inside of a pen, and you can raise that hog, and it'd live 5 years old, and it'd be nice and pink and hairless and everything like that. And if that thing gets out in 2 weeks' time, it's turned feral, turned wild. 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time, the hair begins to grow and the tusks start coming out. And that thing's dangerous. You don't want to meet one in the woods. Amen? Okay? And you think about that. What that represents is, in hogs, there is something in there that is just dying to be wild. And while it's pinned up, it can't get out. You turn that thing loose, and it's like that thing just pops. Sorry, Gloria. You turn that thing loose, and that thing just pops out. In 2 weeks' time, that pig is wild. That's what was inside of that. I don't know, maybe that has something to do with why it was unclean. I don't know. But he's teaching the same idea here. There are some people, they'll come into church, they'll sing the songs, they may read the Bible every now and then, amen the sermon, but there's something there that ain't right. And what'll happen is, given the chance and the opportunity, or given the offense, or whatever it is, they're turning out, they'll walk out, and it's just like they were never even in church a day in their life. Back to drinking, back to running around, back to doing this, back to doing that. You know what they did? They looked back. They turned back. I had a friend in college. He and I were pretty close. He was older than me, and I was trying to be good friends with him and help build his faith, but I'd hear him talk all the time about what he used to do in the old days, the drugs he used to take and the people he had been with and all the parties he had gone to and everything like that. I tried to encourage him, man, don't still think about that. When I left that school, it wasn't very long, and he was out in the world, and I had friended him on Facebook, and I'd heard something about him, and I wasn't sure about it, and sure enough, he made a post here the other day that he's glad now that state is going to allow him to get married to his boyfriend. Boom. He turned back. Listen, he's not headed to the same place I am. He's not going there. Okay? So anyway, that's that idea. Numbers 14:4, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. You know what that's in? That's in the context of they got out in the wilderness. They got to the edge of the promised land. They sent in the spies. The spies come back. 10 of them represents the law. 10 of them said, we can't go in there. Let's make a captain who will lead us back. It was the 10, wasn't it? The 10 said, you cannot go forward. We must, the only place to go is to go back. That's what's in your Bible, people. And listen, I want to tell you something. Your flesh, which is under the curse of the law right now, will always be telling you, you cannot live this life. You cannot be good enough to go to heaven. You're not clean. You've got sins all over you. There's no way God will have you. That's what your flesh tells you. Am I telling you the truth? That's what it tells you. But you've got something deeper inside of you that's telling you, listen, don't listen to that. Remember what the Bible said about Caleb? He had a different spirit in him. And he said, you know what? God said we could have it. We live by faith. We trust that God, what God said he will do, he will do. And so for us, going back is not where we're going. We're going forward. And out of all those, there may have been, I don't know, a million people out in that wilderness. Two of them went forward. The rest of them went back. Whew. Genesis 49:17. Look at what's prophesied of Dan. Dan should be a serpent, by the way. An adder in the path that biteth the horse heels, so that his rider shall fall backward. Look at there. His rider got slain in the spirit, Chris. Okay? How did that happen? Got bit by a serpent. And it's mentioned this about Dan. And when you go to Revelation chapter 7 and look at the 12 tribes that are sealed in the last days, Dan's not there. Dan's gone. He's out. 1 Samuel 4:18. Boy, listen to this. And it came to pass when he had made mention of the ark of God that he fell from off the seat backward. This is Eli, the high priest. And he hears about his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, being killed. And then he hears about the ark, God's mercy, God's throne, God's presence among his people being taken. And when he hears that, he fell off his seat backward. He got slain in the spirit, I guess. And by the side of the gate, and his neck broke, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. Look at the direction that he fell. God was using that as a judgment and as a sign to us living here in these days right now. Don't go back. Don't turn back. Don't fall back. Amen. Don't get slain in the spirit. Don't. I mean, I tried it once. God protected me, and I said, never again, God, and I meant it. I haven't been back, and I'm not going back to that stuff. Amen. So what I'm trying to teach you tonight is the direction God has for us is ahead. It's forward. It's to New Jerusalem. It's not to the old law. It's not back to Egypt. It's not back to the old lifestyle. Those things that you ask God to save you from and to pull you out of, why then would we think that we'll have it better back there? And I'll tell you how the devil works on us, and then we'll close. The devil will work on you and work on your flesh and tell you. You'll have some little problem, maybe with something I said, maybe something in the church going on, or maybe you hear something on Facebook about preachers this and churches this, and there's a devil standing there saying, you didn't have to worry about this stuff back when you were lost. Before you started going to church, you didn't care what preachers did. You didn't care what was going on in the church. You had no care about that. In fact, I gave you a pretty good life before you started going to church. That's what he'll try to do. He'll try to talk you into going back. Okay? And let's be honest. There are things back there that sometimes we miss. Maybe old friends, maybe the old ways, the old days, maybe the old things or whatever it was. There are things that we want that we miss back there. Ignore it. Forget those things that are behind. Best way to forget that I've found is to let God put time between you and whatever it was. because the older we get, the more we forget. And that's sometimes a blessing. Amen? Amen? You get tired of it. Amen? I'm just too tired for foolishness. And God's going, it's working, isn't it? Anyway, you see what I'm trying to show you tonight? Our place is not back. We're not going back. We're headed forward. Can I hear you say amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. I got more of this. Okay? I got more of this, but we're moving forward. Headed home. All right? I don't know if this will help you tonight, but maybe it'll help you one day. Because I guarantee you, you're going to start thinking about the past. Amen.